In Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 14, Paul had been preaching to the people there at Rome, and after a period of time, he was convinced that these people knew the passages from the Bible or the scriptures. And this is what he said: I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct others. And this is what the elders and the ministers here desire of us, to be convinced of that.
Good morning. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is the new projector came in. The bad news is it was terrible. This is not the new projector. Don't go to your eye doctor until we get the new projector in. It's probably not you. We're working on it. Okay? All right. Today's riddle is, what do we all like to give but hate to receive? I'm going to change my subject this morning. Yeah, that's very close. What I was thinking is advice, and sometimes the advice is pretty borderline criticism, right? And since advice is such a struggle, let me give you some advice on the kinds of advice you ought to be giving. Here's some good advice. Never make a bank deposit wearing a ski mask. Never buy a toupee from a veterinarian. Do any of y'all need longer? I can give you longer. And finally, never sneeze the day after you get a facelift. That's the kind of advice we need, the lighthearted stuff. But a lot of times we give unwanted advice, and it can actually be damaging. And I'll come back to that in a minute. I want to remind you, we've been in a series of lessons called Mind Matters. And we've talked about how our minds, our thoughts, our emotions too, go astray because of sin. Because of sin, we don't think properly anymore. And our minds need to be renewed and restored. And God can do that. It begins when we repent, change the mind, change our disposition toward God. And then God works on us through His Spirit to renew and improve and change our spiritual way of thinking. We have to cooperate through prayer and humility and filling our minds with good things and dwelling on good things. Today I want to add another piece to that. We have another resource to help renew our thinking, and that is helping each other. God wants us to help each other think better. And that may sound like advice, and there's some overlap there, but there's also some significant differences between what God is calling us to do and giving advice. And so I want us to do this, and then we'll do one more lesson in this series next week and wrap it up. I want to start with the word admonish. The word admonish. God calls us to help each other think well. And one of the key ways He does that is communicated by a word that is often translated admonish. But admonish sometimes means something different the way we use it today. Sometimes it means reprimand, criticism, and that's not what the Bible is talking about. So I wanted to show you this Greek word, and I'm self-conscious about showing Greek words, but the word for what God wants us to do is noutheteo. Let's just practice saying that together. Noutheteo. Was that fun? No, not that much fun. All right. Well, the reason I mention it is because that word comes from nous, which means mind, and tithemi, which means to put or place. And I wanted you to know that what this word is telling us is that God wants us to put or place healthy thinking in each other's minds. That's what this word is telling us. And so that's the way, that's what the word means properly. Now, you can't translate it that way. You got to come up with one word to translate it with. And so they translate it with admonish, or instruct, or counsel, or warn. And those are close, but they miss the part about putting the healthy thoughts in each other's minds. So when you put healthy thoughts in each other's minds, you encourage people to live according to those thoughts. And so admonish or warn are kind of in there. But the instruct and the counsel are also in there, because this word is telling us that God wants us to help each other think right. Okay? The essence of admonishing is to help each other think well and have the will and disposition to live accordingly. So think properly and live accordingly. That's what we're supposed to help each other do. The purpose is never to shame people, but to help them mature in Christ. You're not criticizing. You're not reprimanding. You're not trying to make them feel guilty. You're trying to help them mature in Christ. One of the key passages, and there's 11 of them, that use this word is Colossians 1, verse 28, that says, Christ is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We're supposed to put healthy thoughts in each other's minds. It's the word admonishing here. And the reason for that is to present everyone fully mature in Christ. You're not going to be fully mature in Christ unless somebody helps put healthy thinking into your mind. And you're not going to help other people mature in Christ unless you help put healthy thinking in their minds. Now, that's not all we need. We need people to proclaim Christ, and we need teaching. So admonishing isn't the only thing we need. And admonishing isn't even always what we need. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 tells us to warn those who are idle and disruptive, and that's our word. But those who are disheartened need to be encouraged. And the weak need help. And everybody needs our patience. So admonishing isn't the only thing people need, and it's not even always the right thing that people need, but it is something that is needed. If you want to mature in Christ, you need to be admonished. You need someone to put healthy thoughts in your minds and urge you to live accordingly. And that's a part of these mind matters. Now, who is admonishing for? Who should admonish others? Well, one answer is leaders. Leaders do a lot of admonishing in the Bible. Another passage where that word occurs, I feel like my font got too small on me there, but another passage where that occurs is Acts 20, verse 31, where Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, he says, while I was there for 3 years, day and night, I never ceased admonishing each of you. He admonished each person at Ephesus day and night for 3 years. Something that leaders should do. It's something fathers should do. You remember that? Ephesians 6 verse 4, bring your children up in the discipline and admonition or instruction of the Lord. Fathers, God has charged you to put healthy thoughts in your kids' brains. How many of you think your kids have some other kinds of thoughts that need to be pushed out of their brains? Okay, I'm pretty sure moms can and should do this too, but in this passage, it gives fathers that responsibility with their children. But you know what? All Christians are supposed to admonish one another. And that's why I wanted Jack to read the verse that we read. I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. That's our word. He wants us to put healthy thoughts into one another's minds. So how do you do that? Well, there's several avenues. You can use words. I don't know if you can see these pictures because of the projector and all. These are two guys not talking to each other. But they have been talking, and they're going to talk. It's just that they're guys. It takes them a little while. But a lot of the admonition in the Scripture is through words. You're talking to each other. Admonition can also be through a letter. Paul wrote a letter admonishing the Corinthians. And sometimes that's the best thing to do. Sometimes that's the only thing you can do. But generally, I think the face-to-face verbal is the best part of that. The Scriptures admonish us. And you may say, well, duh. But I'm saying that the Scriptures specifically say that the Scriptures admonish us. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever was written in the past was written for our instruction. It was written to admonish us. And you can even admonish one another through song. Our church has done a good job, I think, of bringing more balance to singing. In the old days, for a lot of us, all we did is exhort each other through songs. And we kind of miss the fact that you're supposed to sing and make melody in your hearts to the Lord, that you worship the Lord in song. And we've gotten that balance a little better, I think, but there's still a place for admonishing one another through song, Colossians 3 says. And do you know how hard it is to find a picture of people singing to each other? This is the only picture I could find of people singing to each other. And they look suspiciously alike, don't they? So those are some of the avenues that you read about in the Scripture for admonishing one another. But there's a flip side too, and that is who needs to be admonished. And as I've already indicated, we all do. If you want to grow and mature in Christ, you need to be admonished. I'm going to say that a couple of times because we want to be admonished just about as much as we want to be criticized or to receive free advice. And that's not very much. And so I want to emphasize that we all really do need that. But there are some folks that are specifically mentioned as needing to be admonished, like the disorderly or idle or undisciplined, those who don't obey what is written as Paul writes Scripture to these churches, and anyone who causes division. And I want to clarify, this is not the admonisher. If you're pointing your finger, you're not admonishing. This is the divisive person, okay? Titus 3 says that we should warn, that's our word, warn a divisive person once, warn him a second time, and then have nothing to do with him. We've got to help divisive people think right and then urge them to live according to right thinking. What may surprise you is admonishing is not for non-Christians. Now, there may be a couple of exceptions to that, but generally, Christian admonition is for Christians. Non-Christians have never said they want to live right. Non-Christians have never agreed that they're going to follow the Bible. More importantly, Non-Christians don't have the Holy Spirit in them to help them live right. Non-Christians need to hear the good news about Jesus. And if they hear the good news about Jesus and they respond to it and become Christians, then yeah, we begin to teach and admonish them. But you don't go get in the face of you don't go get in the face of anybody, actually. But we just need to be clear on what people need. Now, there might be a couple of exceptions to that. If they ask you what you think, yeah, give them healthy thinking. Or if they're about to destroy themselves, yeah, intervene on that. But just remember that basically admonition is for Christians. Okay, there are a couple of prerequisites if we're going to admonish one another, like the scriptures say. Many people like to admonish others because it gives them a feeling of power. I think that's why we give so much free advice. I think that's why we give so much criticism, because it makes us feel like we're right and we have power and we're influencing others. It's not about us. You don't admonish for your sake. You admonish for the other person's sake. And like it or not everybody's thoughts are equally worth putting in other people's minds. I mention that because we're such a democratic society today, and everybody thinks their point and their view is just as good or better than everybody else's. Not so in the Bible. In the Bible, there's such a thing as maturity. And we're supposed to have mature people as our leaders for the very reason that they are mature. And a part of that is that their thoughts are healthy. We need to have healthy thoughts that we put in other people's heads. So what are some of the prerequisites for admonishing? Well, two of them are in that passage that we read. I am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. If you want to admonish other people, and God wants us to learn to do this, okay, then we need to be full of knowledge. We need to be full of God's truths. We need to have some healthy thinking that we're going to impart to the other person. Back to this verse in Colossians that I mentioned a while ago about admonishing and song. Don't miss the fact that the first thing he says is, let the message of Christ dwell among you, or could be translated in you. Both of those things are true. We don't sing just anything at this church. We mess it up once in a while, but we sing healthy songs, songs that have healthy thoughts in them, because we want to admonish one another when we are doing the horizontal aspect of singing. We want to admonish one another with healthy thoughts. And notice, too, that he says to do it with all wisdom. It's not just sing songs. It's admonish one another as well as singing to God, but it's to do it with healthy truths, which is related to why in second service today we're going to be giving Bibles to our four-year-olds. We want to start kids off right, getting healthy thoughts. We want to encourage parents to actually read the Bible with their children on their children's level, because we believe it is imperative for our thinking to be shaped by God. And if you're full of God's truths, you've taken one step toward being ready to admonish other people. Second thing is, we need to actually be living by the knowledge we want to pass on. The only thing worse than free advice is free advice from someone who is not following that advice themselves, but they think you should. Okay, we don't want to be like that. We want to be full of goodness because we're living according to the healthy truths that we're passing along. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, I'm writing this not to shame you, but to warn you. That's our word, admonish. As my dear children, Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. Therefore, brace yourself. Therefore, imitate me. Now, he's not saying instead of Christ. Elsewhere, he says, follow me as I follow Christ. My point is that he had the integrity to say, hey, you know what you really ought to do? You really ought to be like me. So when you admonish someone the way he was admonishing them, you're basically saying, I want to urge you to be like I am on this particular point. I've picked up healthy thinking from God, and I've got it in me. And what I'm telling you to do, I'm doing it myself, so you imitate me. And it gets even more potent. Verse 17, for this reason, I've sent you Timothy, my son, whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you of my way of life in Christ Jesus, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Question, does your way of life in Christ agree with what you teach? Does your way of Christ, life in Christ agree with your comments in Bible class? Does your way of life in Christ agree with what you tell your kids they ought to be doing? See, if we're going to admonish each other, we've got to have some healthy truths, but we also have to have some goodness because we ourselves are living those truths. And the third thing is we've got to genuinely care about the people that we would admonish. It's another huge difference between admonishing and giving advice. You don't just walk up to a stranger and say, hey, I can help you find a place to get a better haircut. You know, you don't do that. But that's what you do if you're an advice giver. If you're going to admonish people, you've got to genuinely care about them. Back to that passage that I just read in 1 Corinthians 4, did you notice he said, I'm not writing this to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. He viewed it as, I care about you the way a father cares for his children. And the word dear there is a form of agape. You're my beloved children. I really care about you. That's why I'm writing to you like this. Elsewhere we have this. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. I'm trying to give you this healthy thinking. I'm trying to urge you to live according to it. But I've got tears in my eyes as I do it because I care that much for you. And so the conditions are to be full of knowledge, full of goodness, and to care about other people. You see that over and over again in the scriptures. Now, I think you're wise if you add some practical things in there like prioritizing what you talk to them about. Don't try to correct their thinking about everything in one sitting. Make sure you truly understand their situation. Have some good, healthy truths, but make sure you know how they fit into their situation. Pick a good time and a good setting. Have a dialogue with them. Don't lecture them. And make sure your tone and manner communicate that this is about God and that you really do care for them. I think we're wise if we admonish in that way. Okay, one more part of this is receiving it. We may resist those who would admonish us. We like to be independent, we like to be free, and we sure don't like anyone telling us what to do. And so if a godly man or woman comes up to us and tries to help us think clearly about something, even then we may resist that a little bit. And so I want to remind you that God's book of wisdom repeatedly commends those who are open to instruction and correction. A good example of it is those who disregard discipline despise themselves, but the one who heeds correction gains understanding. If you come up to me and try to help me think in a spiritual way about some issue I'm having, and I just blow you off, that means I hate myself, according to this proverb. The Bible commends people who are open to receiving instruction and correction. Now, you still need to evaluate it. You don't automatically accept anything anybody says. The scriptures say that multiple times, and I give you some verses for that on the sheet. So let me give you one quick example of this. Here's a two-word admonition. I can't think of a nice word for complain. But sometimes I complain because I've done a wedding, and now we're going to the reception. And reception halls are notoriously loud, and I don't have much voice to begin with. I use some of it doing the wedding, and I'm going to need some the next morning to preach with. And now we're going into this loud reception hall, and I'm not going to be able to talk. And so what I usually do is sit there and pout. Perhaps you've seen me do that. So Gail admonished me one time and said, "Just smile." That's a two-word admonition. And then she explained that a little more. Help me have some healthier thinking. It's not about you, Marvin. This wedding's not about the preacher. Nobody goes to a wedding to see the preacher. It's not about you. Smile. Think about other people instead of thinking about yourself. And my response was, oh. So I was admonished. That's a simple example. We need a bunch of this, and I hope there's something there that will help you in some way. It's a part of having healthy thinking. The mind matters, and we're supposed to help each other. If you want to talk to somebody or pray with somebody, we're going to have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back. You can catch them now while we stand and sing.